Hello and welcome to Two Old Guys on the Back Porch. I am Steve Scotch, and we have the lovely and talented Kat at C-A-T. Bringing it, Kat. What's going on today?
Hey, how y'all doing? We can be found on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and our premier podcast platforms. We also can be found on Facebook and Instagram. Give us a follow. And if you found me on TikTok, we'll TikTok to you. Our two shout-outs are from our neighbor to the north. Our first town is Petawawak, Ontario, Canada. Today, it's one of Canada's largest ground force bases. Members deployed throughout the world various missions, including supporting United Nations, peacekeeping, and the war on terror. It's a lovely little town. Our other town, also in Ontario, is Dryden, Ontario. The city of Dryden, located on the north shore of the Wabagoon chain of lakes alongside the Trans-Canada Highway.
Wabagoon.
Giving y'all a round of applause.
All right, I'm going to give alcohol a round of applause, too. Alcohol is a must here on the back porch. I do drink to forget, but I never forget to drink. Today, I'm going old school with a pint, and then another pint, and then several more pints of Yuengling. Still family-owned, still brewed in Pottsville, Pennsylvania. Oldest brewery in the U.S. of A. Started in 1829. It's an oldie but a goodie. Kat, what you got?
I have just a little Cuba Libre with my favorite Coke Zero and some fresh lime.
Oh, sounds sweet like you, babe.
Thanks, doll. I don't know how you guys are in your life. I'm a big planner. I like to fill up calendars and make plans. I'm a good vacation planner.
True.
Even though we haven't gone on one this year. I like to do my research. I didn't like to know what's happening next. I'm the same way every day. I need to know what happens next. My weeks are pretty regimented. I usually know what's going on. I usually have my calendar filled out. Even when our kids were little, we usually had like a schedule we stuck to make sure what's going to happen next and cooler and anxiety. And because, you know, everybody likes to know what to expect, I think. Okay. The week of July 22nd, 26th was going to be a busy week for me. I had to get a washing machine for one of my tenants. I had to get the dog to the vet. I had to help Steve with some automobile issues. I had to work on a podcast, write, produce, record. I had all my ducks in a row. I knew exactly it was going to be busy, but I knew it was going to happen. Something was happening every day, and it was scheduled. Time management at times can be an art. Monday, I talked to the repair guy, and the tenant decided the washing machine really wasn't worth repairing. Tuesday, I headed across the James River to purchase a new washing machine and maybe a little extra Costco run in the nice big Costco in Midlothian. Wednesday, I helped Steve drop off a truck and took some food to the low-cost veterinarian, little dog donation to help, you know, some new pet owners who might not be ready financially to, you know, all the things that go along with having a pet. After that, I came home, did my workout with weights, proceeded to walk the dog, something I do every day. We had had a really rainy weekend. I was stuck. We had had a really rainy, and I was stuck more to the clear paths of to our dog likes to have an adventure. He likes to smell all the smells. He likes to smell the fox. He likes to smell the deer. He likes an adventure. So we did our usual path, a nice cleared trail with a hunting dog, smelling all his smells. And I'm walking down this little hill thinking I'm just going to get, to the nice gravel road and we'll finish the walk. Instead, what happened was I slipped in the red clay mud of our local walk there and broke my ankle. Now, breaking my ankle was something I pretty much feared most of my life because my mother had done it 30 years previous, and I knew how much pain she went through and how much her recovery was an issue. And honestly, she didn't really have a great outcome. Her ankle was always swollen most of her life. And that was like one thing in life I really don't want to have that happen to me. Well, it did. It's probably one of the most painful, top five painful experiences of my life. But thank God for modern technology, because I was able to call my daughter laying there in a ditch in the mud, trying to, get some help.
Good thing you had your phone.
Good thing I had my phone. Good thing I had my earphones on.
Called me at work, and I have no wheels. Everything's in the shop. Strange timing.
To have both your vehicles in the shop at the same day was really strange. Anyway, so I got her to come pick me up. I basically crawled into her car, and I thought about what's the closest place we can go, and we went to the little pseudo hospital. Of course, the
doc. It's a doc in the box.
Well, no one call it a doc.
Run by Bon Secours.
Right, and of course the dog's running around, so we end up having to get him back in the house, and we take off, and they tried their best to help me out.
Reset the bone.
Yes, we did X-ray, tried to put some splint twice. Too many moving parts were involved. Of course, and I was there, about 7 hours? I stayed calm, got in an ambulance, went to the real hospital, went to that emergency room, informed we were going to get operated on that night. While we were in the emergency room, I did order a knee scooter for home, which was one of the best decisions I ever made. Thank you, Amazon. Anyway, they took the recovery room, met all my doctors, physicians, everybody participating in this emergency operation. Came back to recovery, stayed in the hospital 2 days, no walking for 6 weeks, considering I had 3 5Ks planned from August till October. That sucked because I knew there was no way I was going to be doing that anytime soon. Steve and my daughter have helped me out tremendously. Your family doesn't really know what mama does until mama ain't doing no more, correct?
True.
Not a lot of pain right now, but I get around pretty good on the scooter thing. Sleep was an issue.
Scooter rocks. She's rocking on the scooter, very independent, more than I thought she would be.
Sleep was an issue. That has gotten better. I had to say pretty much goodbye to my summer flowers because nobody's really watering them.
I said goodbye to them. I can see them over in the woods where I dumped them.
The pets are a little confused, especially the dog, why I'm not taking in on her adventure walks. So
routines have been interrupted.
Plans have been changed for everyone. Let's see.
If you could have picked a time. Uh-oh. Snoop Dogg's getting ready to go down. Something's out here. Fox or deer. Hunting dog's going after it. If you could have picked a time to break your ankle, and you never want to do that, other than that week where we had 50,000 things going on, and me and Shannon went into scramble mode, you did pick the best time, because you hear me, well, we bitch about the weather out here in the summertime. It's been brutal. The whole time my girl's been lame. You don't want to go out there anyway. I mean, it's just been the dew points in the 70s, humidity's in the 90s. You can't even breathe out there. So anyway, it's a good time to be inside.
You know, I mean, so far, I mean, I do miss exercise. I'll be honest. I really look forward to the stuff that they've given me to do, physical therapy.
I think that's why your sleep has been affected, because you can't run yourself down.
No,
you
know,
you're not, can't move. Went to the doctor the other day, and they give my girl 2 more weeks with the cast. We thought we were going to get the boot, right?
Right.
And then we got to wait a couple more weeks. He said tissue or whatever heals quick. Bone takes a long time to heal. So going to go to boot in a couple weeks, and then maybe a little more mobile.
I don't know. I really have enjoyed doing the physical therapy. I'm trying to do weights that I had been doing previous, at least the upper part of me. I think back to the day before the accident, I did a nice 40-minute elliptical run. And that's where I want to be back to. And that's where I plan to be back to. I plan to hear.
You will.
Have a good outcome from this.
It's going to take a while.
It's going to be a longer road than probably Mr. Steve and I. Of course, plans have changed, but we're rolling with the punches here. And that's what my little thing is. When plans change and something happens traumatic or big change in your life, the best thing for you to be is calm and give some trust to the people that they're trying to help. Believe me, I met a zillion doctors and everything over those few hours in between the time we were in the first little hospital until we went to the big one and I was in the operating room. And you just try and smile and yes, yes, yes. Well, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then how many times did I have to say what happened to me? And I'm still introducing, hi, nice to meet you. This is what happened to me. But you just need to stay calm and kind of roll with the punches. And that's kind of what my little speech is. You know, just because you make plans, God laughs and goes, hey, you think you're doing that today? Guess what? You're doing something else. And it'll be a stress and it'll be a pain in the butt. But I put you on the earth for a reason, and you're going to roll with it.
We're getting through. We're getting by. We're still eating. We're still drinking, and we're doing the best we can. And Kat's doing great. She's doing great. I was a little worried. She was in so much pain at the beginning that she took a liking to those oxys, and now we see why people like those. I took one. Those things are great. No, I didn't. But anyway, she weaned herself off. And the pain's gone a little. And when they took the cast off the other day, it looked great. I thought it was going to be all purple and nasty looking and all kind of swole up. It really didn't look that bad. Dr. Brown, calling Dr. Elvis, came in and, you know, laid out the law. And we're just going to go with the plan. And again, our daughter's been a big help around here with the animals and cooking and everything. So we're just pulling it all together, doing the best we can. And Kat's doing a great job of doing what she can do. All right. I'm going to roll right into one tough, awesome lady. All right. Let's see. This week, it's Jane Addams. And that's Addams with 2 D's. Born in 1860 from Cedarville, Illinois. Jane Addams, go ahead and say, pretty much the founder of social work here in the United States. She co-founded the Hull House, which was a settlement house that assisted immigrants as they entered the States way back in the day. And the Hull Houses, they ended up being like 100 of them across the United States. Jane Addams, she focused on concerns with women of the time, children's needs, public health, world peace. This lady did so much to point this country in the right direction way, way back in the day. Jane Addams, she was born into privilege, used her intellect and status to help those that weren't so fortunate. In 1920, she co-founded the American Civil Liberties Union. It's a little side note, she was a lesbian, had a relationship with Mary Smith for like 40 years, which back in those days was a little bit, you know.
Had to keep it on the down low.
Yeah, that was dicey for somebody who was out in the public eye. First woman to be awarded the Nobel Peace Prize. When Jane Addams died in 1935, she was the best-known female public figure in the United States.
During World War I, Addams had her second calling, promoting international peace. She was an avoided pacifist, protested U.S. entry into World War I, which kind of really wasn't a popular thing to do, but that's what she felt like she needed to do.
Again, a lady born into privilege and looked out for those who had nothing. And that makes Jane Addams one tough, awesome lady. We didn't watch anything this
week.
Yeah,
we did. Oh, we did. And you know the thing I watched, because it's the only thing I could watch for 2 weeks while I'm sitting
Olympics.
Here. Olympics. And I loved it. I watched stuff I've never watched in my whole life.
France did a good job.
France did a really good job. Everybody was not enthralled, I guess, with the opening. It was weird, but I thought it was great. But see, that's the French. The French are going to do weird. I went back to the previous Olympics, a winter one that was in Albertville, France, and it looked like Cirque du Soleil back in 1992.
You mean the last time France had the Olympics?
Right.
Not the last Olympics.
Not the last Olympics. The last French Olympics, I'll put it that way. It, you know, and
over the top.
That blew my mind then. And then when they came out with this, and as I talked with my daughter about it, people didn't really like it. But you have to realize, French are weird. I've been to France. French are weird. And they like weird stuff. You know, they basically made the whole city of Paris, the backdrop
involved.
For the opening,
it was involved.
Rather than being
and
in
people
a...
didn't get that.
Right.
At the beginning, it was a little weird, but at the end, I thought it was cool.
Yeah.
And that, whatever that, it was like a horse and like a rider, like skimming across the water. That was cool as shit.
It reminded
me
of Joan of Arc. That's what, when I saw that horse and her going across the water, I got Joan of Arc from that.
I'm going to say the reason the Olympics kind of bounced this time and a lot of people got into it was the coverage. You know, if you have Direct or Dish or whatever is offered where you live, like we had three separate channels that were going, 24/7?
Right,
basically.
Right.
So you could cut it on, like Kat said, you could see events. Like, I want to see fencing. It was on. I want to see ping pong. It was on. I know you're like laughing, but I'm telling you, handball. Okay. the stuff you don't see every day, every 4 years. And basically whatever you wanted to see, like we're kind of into the swimming. That was cool. The track events. I mean, not just the running. Like I see these people throwing the javelin. Like I ordered a javelin from Amazon. I want to throw one of them bitches. I mean, the hammer thing. I mean, I'm going to say the coverage. NBC, other than bringing in all their celebs that are already on the payroll, I thought that was a little lame. Snoop Dogg
Anybody
was cool.
Who had a universal contract showed up in Paris. Trust me.
But overall, I thought it was very well done. And they had big numbers.
Oh, yeah. It was, I mean, you know. In the little stuff with Snoop Dogg, I mean, my daughter and I got into the break dancing, which really didn't come till the end.
Now that was wrong. That's not an event, okay?
But that's a really athletic pursuit if you see what they're doing.
The skateboarding, I couldn't get into that. Maybe I'm just too old now.
I mean, I got into, Taekwondo and the
judo
and the judo.
That was weird.
That was, we watched one. It was China and France team judo, and it was like wild because the French were going crazy.
I mean, they were freaking out. I didn't understand the rules, but like Kat said, you know, it's for 2 weeks. She's sitting there with her leg up in the air and can't do anything. Again, if you could have picked a time to snap a bone. She did pick the right, other than that week from hell when we had a bunch of shit going on and me and the daughter were scrambling to get it done. The Olympics, it was 2 weeks to kill something, you know, kill time. And I heard people talking about it on the radio. It was everywhere.
And the Japanese, the last one, summer one, was during COVID, and there was a lot of things that kind of fell through with that, especially audience. There was no real audience for that there in the stadiums and everything. So I really enjoyed it. I will say that, you know, I thought it was a great Olympics.
I can tell you, for 2 weeks, when I got up in the morning, I would cut it on before I go to work. And when I'd come home in the afternoon, Kat would have it on. And then we'd check out the primetime stuff. And some of it, of course, France is like 6 hours ahead of us.
Right.
So that's not that bad. Some of it had already happened. But what is it? I don't know if it's sculling, the rowing thing.
Right.
That I'm going to tell you what. There's a lot of sports, whatever, stuff you have to train for the Olympics. That freaking rowing stuff, man. That looks brutal when because your legs and your arms are going the whole time, and when they get through with that, they look like they're ready to just fall out the boat. You have got to
they're
be on it to
giving
do that.
Their all. They really are. Anyway, I really enjoy the Olympics. I hope other people did. Okay,
4 more years. We're going to be in LA, which sounds a little sketch, but they do. They're already working out the transportation problems because supposedly it takes you like an hour to go like 8 miles in LA. So they're already working on that. And they've got some cool venues in LA.
Right.
You know, they're gonna play where the basketball players play.
Staples Center
and the Coliseum,
right,
and other stuff. And I tell you what, the venues that France had were cool as shit.
Oh, the one that I loved the most was the one that
the fencing and all
and
that.
The fencing, the Grand Palais.
That building what is that building? Is
it's
that
like
theater
a glass,
or something?
It's like a big glass building.
It was pretty awesome.
It was like the Crystal Palace of France at the time.
All right, we're going to salute the 2024 Olympics with a shot. What did we get today?
We got a Ninja Turtle shot.
Oh, no.
Okay, we have Midori, equal parts Midori, Malibu rum, and pineapple juice.
Cheers, baby. It's very almost green jello looking. It's melted.
It's not bad.
You know, that's not bad. Why is it called a ninja drink? Ninja Turtle?
I guess the color.
Yeah. I don't know which. Theodore, I don't know the Ninja Turtles' name. So.
Oh, it's all Leonardo. And
yeah, maybe it's Leonardo's outfit color. I don't know. All right, what was it called again?
Ninja Turtle Shots. It's a cuddle for turtle, babe.
All right. Thanks, Kat.
You're welcome.
All right, band of the week. It's that time. I would have never thought this dude would have made it. Gus Dapperton. You're like, who? Gus Dapperton. 27 years old from Warwick, New York. Easy for me to say. You know, Gus's real name is Brendan Patrick Rice. Singer, songwriter. Also known for his fashion sense. Signed to a modeling agency. That was his first claim to fame. But if you see him, you wouldn't think so. He brought back the bowl cut, made that popular again. But screw all that. Gus Dapperton decided music was his future. Started out like solo, and I mean solo, creating his music with no outside help from anyone. Nowadays, his name is out there. And so he does let other musicians come in and do the heavy lifting for him. Gus Dapperton was kind of put on the map by doing a little song called Super Lonely by an artist named, what's her name, Kat?
Beanie.
Who's got like, what, 6 billion hits?
Right.
I like that. I like this girl. I do like her. And for some reason, Gus and, what's her name?
Beanie.
Gus and Beanie, they shine together. Today we were bumpered in with another song they did, a very cool song called Don't Let Me Down. Check out Gus Dapperton.
If you want to check him out yourself, September 29th, he'll be at the Marquee Theater there in Phoenix, Arizona.
He's in the States. Gus is here. That's right. He's from here.
Check out
Gus Dapperton wherever you get your music. We want to thank everybody for hanging out on the back porch. And we will see y'all down the road.
See ya.